Listen as I read for you Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord God, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. I say more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now, I wonder if you are a person who has ever been in the depths in your experience. Have you ever been down so low that it was hard for you to look up? I believe that this passage teaches us specifically the answer to being in the depths. It is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in these verses that David cried to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord answered him and delivered him from all his fears. The basis of David's deliverance from his fears was the knowledge that with the Lord there was abundant redemption. And David lived 1,000 years before Christ was born. But he knew the reality of what Christ would do for him by his death. Now, I want to lay before you here this afternoon three things that Christ died for to bring salvation to all sinners and saints who are trusting in him. First of all, Christ died to deliver his saints from the depths of their afflictions. And second, Christ died so that your prayers can be heard. And third, Christ died so that your iniquities or your sins would not be marked. First of all, Christ died to deliver his saints from the depths of their afflictions. Verse 1, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. The word depths has reference to the sorrow and misery and discouragement that the psalmist David felt in relation to his enemies and their sins against him. It also refers to his low experience in relation to his own experience of his own sins in the sight of the holy God. Let's think for a few minutes of his experience in relation to his enemies. I want us all to think of David's younger days. When he was first coming into the public eye, he was anointed by God to become king. But the man who was king at that time, Saul, wasn't going to give up his rule without a fight. And David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who was zealous for God's honor and glory in the way that he lived his life. But he was sometimes brought low by the hatred of his enemies toward him. He had been bold and courageous when God called him to kill the Philistine Goliath. God chose David, his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd his people Israel, it says in Psalm 78:70. But in the process of raising him up to be king, God also permitted David to be brought low, so low at this point, that he says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. He did not have any selfish ambition or pride working in his heart and life when the women sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He had great respect for Saul, and he loved Saul's son Jonathan as himself. And when Saul became envious and suspicious of him, he only thought of Saul's good. He wanted to establish Saul's rule over God's beloved Israel. His love for his king and his God was evident when King Saul was chasing him around the wilderness to take his life. And he said, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Will you not see, my friends, that it was David's love for his God, for his God's law, and for other people which led him to the place where others who were selfish and sinful persecuted him? It was because he was being faithful to God that some people hated him without a cause. He had done what was right. He had done valiantly. But King Saul and all those who supported the king in his selfishness and wickedness only persecuted David for it. Now, I wonder if you've ever been in a situation like that, where for your love, other people return it with evil or something bad. But you see, that's what happened to Jesus. It's what happened to David. It's what happens to all Christians at some point or another in their experience and in their life. King Saul was so envious of David after he slew the Philistine. He was so suspicious of him that he wanted to pin David to the wall with a spear. But David would play the harp and sing songs for him to calm his distressed spirit. I hope that you can see that this is why Christ died. Christ died so that David might have grace, so that he might have God's help and his favor shown to him, so that he would live in this powerful and amazing way, rejoicing in his God. Even so, David had grace, I'm saying, in the depths of his experience. And this experience of being in the depths does not look powerful and amazing in a good way, but it was for David and it will be for you if you trust in Christ. For God's grace was forming Christ's character in David. And Christ died so that when any saint, that is, any believer in God, Old Testament or New, trusted in him, would cry out to God from the depths of their experience because of the oppressions of evil men, that he would hear them and sustain them in all their trials. And I want you to remember that God can build the Christian character of the one who cries to him out of the depths so that they can glorify him in whatever situation they're in. Psalm 50, verse 15, listen to what it says. Call to me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So you see, that's what happens when we get saved. That's what happens when we trust in Jesus. We call upon the name of the Lord in prayer, and God delivers us from all of our sins. And we then are able to glorify him. That is, we're able to bring glory to him in the way that we live our lives. Now, second, Christ died so that your prayers will be heard when you are distressed. Verse 2, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. So David, you should know, experienced a low point of distress after he had shown Saul mercy and love in sparing his life. In 1 Samuel 24 and 26 is found the record of David's twice sparing Saul's life. It was a wonderful display of the good grace of Christ at work in his life. But it was after this that he became distressed. Let me read to you what David experienced in 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, it says, "And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better, he said, for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." Do you know how many years Saul chased David around in the wilderness? 10 years. That's how long it was. Now, I hope that you can see here that David saying these things that I just read to you is nothing but David's falling into unbelief. The sin of unbelief gained a foothold in David's heart for a time, and it is possible that this could happen to you as well, my friend, because of the distress of how someone else has treated you, maybe sinfully treated you. God had protected David. He had delivered him from Saul numerous times, but now David, in his unbelief, still thought that there would come a time and a situation where Saul would finally catch up with him and kill him. So he fled to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines were David's enemies because they were Israel's enemies. But nevertheless, David fled to Gath, to Achish, the king of Gath, because he thought there he might find peace and safety. Now imagine, if you can, the situation that those who should have been David's enemies, Saul and his followers, became a greater threat and danger to David than Israel's enemies themselves. David fled there. He'd fled there once before when fleeing from Saul, but Achish had turned him away. Achish was the king of Gath. And David tried to feign, that is, pretend that he was insane. He tried to pretend that he was mad before Achish. But that convinced Achish to send him away. He didn't need madmen in his kingdom, he says. But in verse 4 of chapter 27, "And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him Ziklag," that is, he gave him this city. He gave him his own city that day. You see, David, even when he had to flee from Saul to the enemy, was so faithful in Achish's service that Achish did this for him. He gave him a city. And therefore, Ziklag belonged to the kings of Judah, it says, to this day, in verse 6. In Proverbs 16:7, it says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." How good the Lord is. But a little later, after David and his men had lived in Ziklag for a while, it says in chapter 30, verse 1, "It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag. They attacked it and they burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came back to the city, and there it was burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. And David and the people who were with them, they lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive." And so David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man was grieved for his sons and his daughters. But it says David strengthened himself in his God. Now that's what I want you to understand here this afternoon. That when you are in a distressed condition, that by faith and prayer you can strengthen yourself in your God. And we must ask ourselves this question: how did David strengthen himself? He did so by praying and trusting in the Lord his God. And this becomes especially important for us as well when we are distressed, when other people are upset with us, around us. They may be upset with us for things which are entirely outside of our control. And so it is especially important that we should pray and strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God at that time. David was heard by God in his prayers, and he was able to have them answered. Verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord. That means he prayed to the Lord asking, saying, shall I pursue this troop? That is the Amalekites that took his wives and the other men's wives and children captive. Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, that is, God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And you and I need to remember that at such times when we are distressed, that Christ died so that your prayers might be answered when you are distressed. Do you believe that? Because that's what God wants you to believe here this afternoon. When you are distressed, if you will come and inquire of the Lord, if you will ask of him, what would you have me to do in relation to the situation that's causing me distress? What should I do that would help me but would also glorify and honor you, O Lord? And we need to remember that at such times when we are distressed, that Christ died so that our prayers might be answered. Christ is the greater David, whose prayers to God were answered in the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul was deeply distressed there in that place for all the persons that the Father had given to him. That includes you and me who believe in him. His prayer to God, Christ's prayer to God, was that he might pursue us when we were taken captive by all of our sins and Satan. And then because he prevailed with God in his prayers, he did pursue us and he overtook all of our enemies at the cross. And it was because he pursued us even through his death that without fail he will recover all that was lost by us. Do you believe that, dear Christian? How thankful we should be to our God and our Christ that Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this ought to teach us to pray in all of our distresses. Do not hesitate to call upon the name of the Lord in your times of distress and difficulty, because his is a throne of mercy. It's a throne of grace to everyone who comes to him. And then third, even when we have sinned as a believer, we should remember that Christ died so that our iniquities, our sins, would not be marked. Verses 3 and 4a, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Now we need to remember that it is sin against God which brings the Christian to the greatest depths of agony that he or she will ever experience. A true Christian will never go to hell because of their sin. Their sin has been borne by Christ on the cross, and they shall not be condemned for it. But it is still an awful thing when a Christian sins. Whether that sin is being tolerated in their heart, or whether it is broken out in their actions. The Holy God makes His people whom He loves feel their sins. He will bring them to the place where they are ashamed of themselves for committing them. He will bring them to the place where they are crying to Him for mercy and grace so that they might be wise and holy in the future. I believe that it is when we sin against God as a Christian that we feel the greatest pain and the greatest shame that we will ever feel in our life. And this is because when we were an unbeliever before, either we did not know what our sin did to dishonor God, or we did not care. But as a Christian, we both know. We know what our sin did to dishonor God, and we have come to realize what we have done in our sin. We have dishonored the Holy God. We have not conducted ourselves in wisdom or holiness. We have given ground for the enemy to blaspheme God's holy name. And many times when we think about our sins, we think about them in terms of what it does to hurt us or other people. But the primary damage done is to God's honor and the grief that it causes to His holy heart. He knows the grace that He has given to us. But sometimes we do not humbly recognize that we have been given by God all the grace, mercy, peace, and blessing that we have ever been given has been given to us by God Himself. And He first began to show us that mercy and grace when we first believed. And the reason that Jesus died was so that every believer who has sinned against Him might come to Him in prayer and find mercy and grace and forgiveness. It is so that each and every day that you might be restored back into His favor and receive the blessings which only He can give. What David reminds the Lord of in his prayer to Him here in Psalm 130 was the sinfulness of every person and the Lord's faithfulness not to mark iniquities. Oh Lord, if You marked iniquities, no one would stand. No one. But there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. So what this should cause us to understand is very simply this, that no one can stand with any confidence before God because of their sins. They would not be able to endure God's scrutiny of their hearts or the disciplinary actions that He would take against them. But there is forgiveness with God, that He might be feared. Isn't that good news, dear Christian? Mm-hmm. When Jesus went to the cross, all the marks that God had put down to your account, and by the way, God is certainly well able to mark everything that we've done wrong, mm-hmm. if He so has a will to do so. But I'm saying that Jesus paid the punishment due to all your sins when you believed in Him, and so all the marks that God had put down in your account were erased by the blood of Jesus. They were blotted out. And it was His sufferings and His death that opened the door to His favor forever. There is forgiveness that He might be feared. And this is the purpose of God in forgiving all of your sins. It's so that He might be feared by those whom He forgives. Not feared like, oh, I'm scared of you. But no, I fear You and I want to know You and I reverence you, and I love you, God, because of what you have done for me. That's the purpose of God in forgiving all of your sins. To fear the Lord, by the way, is for you to have regard for him, that you might be careful concerning him to receive the things that he tells you in the Bible. And that kind of regard requires his grace to be at work in your heart. And so you as a Christian need to be a person who is teachable, a person who will receive instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That verse is from Proverbs 1, verse 7. And there is a godly fear that has regard to God, and there is an ungodly fear that will not regard God. The Christian life is not getting your own way. It is learning God's better way of living. It is learning more of God's way of holiness and righteousness, which is found in Christ. And if you are a true believer, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want Christ's grace to work in your heart to teach you the fear of the Lord. And so as a Christian, you willingly choose the fear of the Lord, to be instructed by his word, to receive his reproof in all the areas of your life that you need it. In Proverbs 23:17, it says, it's good to be in the fear of the Lord all day long. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, which shows us that all Christians need to come to that place where they see that by prayer and trusting in you, that they can be forgiven of all and any of their sins, and that they can joy and rejoice in walking with you in godly fear all of their days, knowing that when we die, having believed in Jesus, we shall just step out of this life and into eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us. How thankful we are that you have not marked our iniquities, for we could not stand, but that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Impress these truths upon our hearts, we pray today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.